Please turn with me in your Bibles this morning to 1 John, way over in the New Testament, 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, as we continue a series of messages in the ever-present God, ever-present God, and having peace in times and troubles and hope in times of trouble. And persevering in times of trouble and having purpose in life, even in times of trouble. So we're looking at healing and hope in an ever-present God. This morning, we're looking at faith in times of trouble. Again, we live in troubled times. You may be experiencing trouble in your family, in your personal life. We're living in troubled times as a nation. When I was sick last week, I was laid up with fever and chills and a deep cough in my chest. And the only thing I could do was lay there and watch Fox News. And I was watching the news and watching people saying how much they hated America and burning our flag. And I have to confess to you, I became very angry. My blood was boiling watching our flag being stomped on and burned and all the stuff that is involved in that. And I do thank the Lord for the discipleship class about when others hurt you. And one thing we learned in that class so far, that God made us where we can get angry. Jesus got angry. Moses got angry. And yet it says, be angry and sin not with that anger, because the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. But even in these times that we are living in the trouble that we sense may be coming, and the times of trouble that we are living in, you and I as God's people are to be people of faith. And we are to maintain our faith and be faithful people in times of trouble, whether it's trouble in your life or your family or in our nation or whatever trouble you may experience. You may say, well, Pastor, I'm not having any trouble. Just wait, as long as you're breathing, trouble is on its way. Okay? Yes. If we have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, our faith is in a great big God. But even that, the Apostle Paul experienced lots of trouble, and he was doing the will of God. Isn't it great that God is on His throne? No matter what the gainsayers say or what they do or whatever may happen, our faith is in a great big God who is still on the throne no matter what you say or think. Amen? No matter what other people may say or think, God is still in control. And our faith is in Him. Even in troubled times, we are to be faithful. You know, one thing about Hebrew and Jewish thought, in which we're fixing to read here in 1 John, Hebrew thought, which the Apostle John, the aged apostle at this time, He writes, inspired by God the Holy Spirit, in couplet ideals. We're going to be looking at faith this morning, but there's two types of faith that you and I, as Christians, are to have. First of all, that's saving faith. Saving faith. We're saved by grace. Amen? If you think you can be saved any other way than by the blood that was shed on Mount Calvary and by that grace, then you are deceived this morning by the devil. You cannot save yourself no matter what you do. We must be saved by grace and not by works, lest any man should boast. You see, when we think we can be saved some other way, we can be like our Sunday school lesson. You can see splinters in other people's eye because you're self-righteous then, and you don't realize the planks in your own eyes. So we're saved by grace, and it's by faith in the Son of God and the blood that was shed on Mount Calvary for the forgiveness of sins. Everyone say that's saving faith. Amen. Then there's living faith. If you're saved by grace and faith in Jesus Christ, you're saved. And yet, if you're saved, you ought to be alive. He quickens you. You've been born again. Now you're alive spiritually. And if you're alive spiritually, then that is called living faith. Don't get the cart before the horse. You cannot be saved by living faith. You must be saved by grace. And then we live our faith. And that's still by the effectual grace of God. It's by the Spirit of God that indwells us that we're even able to have living faith. Because Jesus Christ is the author of our faith and He is the finisher of our faith. He is the author and perfecter of our faith. So that's living faith, saving faith, and living faith. He must have both. The book of James in the New Testament on practical Christian living, he said, I will show you my faith by what I do. Is your faith alive or is your faith dead? If you say you have faith and you see a brother in need and you do not help that brother, then you have a dead faith. So saving faith, living faith, even gives the examples of Abraham. We know that Abraham, the father of our faith, Abraham believed God, and it says in Galatians that God imputed righteousness upon Abraham because he believed God. His faith was in God, and righteousness was given, bestowed upon Abraham because he believed God. And yet, Abraham offered up Isaac because God told him to. And he was fixing to sacrifice his son unto God because he believed God. It even says in Hebrews that he believed God would raise Isaac from the dead, but he was fixing to sacrifice his son, so his faith was living. He demonstrated his faith by obeying God. Now, if you and I say that we're saved this morning and have not living faith, then we are like a fisherman who knows all the details about fishing. A fisherman who his tackle box has all the latest baits. A fisherman who has read and studied about fishing. He has a brand new bass boat. He has a brand new Ford truck to haul that bass boat to the lake. And he knows the correct water temperatures, the oxygen level in the lake where the fish would be more apt to be, and he knows all of that, and yet he never catches a fish. You know why? He never goes. Never goes. So if you and I say that we've been saved by grace and yet do not live for Christ, our faith is dead. That's what the Apostle John is saying to us. And in troubled times, either you're going to be a witness or you're not, because there are people watching you. They're watching you. Okay? We all experience troubled times. Are you going to have faith and a living faith or not? Let's look here in 1 John chapter 4, let's begin in verse 20 of 1 John chapter 4. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar, for he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Let us pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your precious word. And Lord, help us to be people of faith and people that are faithful, even in times of trouble, Lord. May we be faithful unto the end. May we endure unto the end by your grace. And, oh God, by your presence, the ever-present God. Our faith, our hope, our trust is in you. And it's in the name above every name that we come before your throne. And that's Jesus. Amen. Faith. Faith. Christian faith is saving faith, and it is living faith. Here's two examples. It says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 20, if someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. Two examples. First of all, the example of saving faith, and that is to love God. We are to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the first commandment, is to love God, to love Him with our being, to love Him in such a way that He does not belong to us, but we belong to Him. Our life belongs to God. He has the ownership of our lives. That is to love God. You have given yourself to God. That's love. You see, He loves us unconditionally. That's the agape love, and we are to love Him. You see, the reason why we love God first, because He first loved us. His love was manifested upon the cross towards you and I, and we're saved by His grace, so therefore we love God. But listen, to love God, secondly, the living faith is we are to love others. To love others. That's living faith. Is to love one another, to love your brother, it says, to love your brethren, our brothers and sisters, to love them. You know what? He gives a good example that there's two families, there's two children. It's the children of the devil or the children of God. Cain, he describes him as being the child of the devil, the child of the evil one, who slew his brother. So there's two families. It's not we're all one big family, kumbaya. No, there's two families mentioned in the Bible. The children of the devil and the children of God. But to love God is to love one another. In that, Brother James Franklin, if I confess to be a Christian and I love God and yet I hate James Franklin's guts, does that say that I'm a Christian? No. We are to love one another. See, I can see James Franklin. I can see all of you. And if I can see you and know you and still not like you and hate you and all the gossips and all that, what our Sunday school lesson was about, and we live out hatred toward our brother and sister, then we belong to the devil. To the devil. If you and I cannot love one another whom we have not, who we can see, and yet confess that we love God whom we have not seen. So we are to love one another. The New Testament blood-bought church should be known as people who love one another. That's the living faith, is to love your brother and sister. You see, if you watch the news or any type of TV about what's going on in this world, they'll say, well, all religions are the same. That's hogwash. You know, religion will send you to hell. You know that, don't you? You need to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Religion will send you to hell. But for someone to say that Islam and Christianity, we're all worshiping the same God and they're all religions of love, they don't know God. Because the God that they serve, and they can kill people in the name of their God, that is not what Christianity is. Christianity is to love God and to love one another and do good unto who? Even your enemy. By this, the world will know that we are His disciples. Yes, there's complete difference in religions. Ours is based on a faith relationship and love to God and His love towards us. So, saving faith, love God. An example of living faith is to love one another. Here's a good, great passage of Scripture. Turn to 1 John chapter 3, verse 10. 1 John chapter 3, verse 10. In this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. That's an example of living faith, of loving God and loving one another. And he says, do not marvel that the world hates you. Isn't that quite evident today that you cannot mention the name of Jesus, the true Messiah, but you can defend Islam or defend something else? See, the world hates Christianity, the world hates us. But what are we to do in troubled times? Be faithful. Love one another. Do good to those who despitefully use you even. Do good to them. Do good. Another example of saving faith and living faith. 1 John chapter 5, verse 2 through 3, again in our text. Let's read it again. Verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. Not burdensome. Again, love God, saving faith. With our whole being, love God. Another example of living faith is keep His commandments. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Jesus said that if you're not with me, then you're against me. So we are to love God and keep His commandments. That's living faith. Living faith. It's like the man who brought home a toy and he had five children, and he was trying to teach them an object lesson and said, okay, the one who always obeys mama and does what she says and tries to help mama out will get to play with this toy. There was a silence just for a few seconds, and in all unison, the children said in an angry voice back to their daddy, okay, daddy, you can play with the toy. He obeyed. He obeyed. That's just a humorous example, though, of how you and I are to keep the commandments. Again, the two main commandments is to love God, love one another, and upon those two commandments, all the commandments come from that. So it's love. Love God, love one another, and all the commandments flow from that. Again, keep my commandments, Jesus said. Keep my commandments. That's living faith. Another example. Verse 4 of chapter 5. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Saving faith, example, is being born of God. That's saving faith. You cannot see the kingdom of heaven unless you've been born again. Nicodemus in John chapter 3, the Gospel of John, Nicodemus comes to Jesus and asks, are you the Messiah? And Jesus said, well, you must be born again. Nicodemus asked, well, how can an old man go back into his mother's bosom to be born again? Can that happen? Jesus said, no. You are born again by water and by the Spirit. And then he goes in to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him, saving faith, will not perish but have everlasting life. So believing, saving faith, and it's by water and the Spirit. Water always in Scripture is God's Word. We're born by hearing God's Word. And we're born again by believing God's Word. And it is by the Spirit of God that you and I are born again. When the Holy Spirit of God touches your heart, convicts you of your sin, He woos you unto Himself, you believe and you obey. That's by water and by the Spirit of God, by God's Word, touches your heart and you believe in Jesus. So, born of God, saving faith. Here's the other couplet ideal in this text in 1 John chapter 5. It says, overcome the world. Born again and overcome the world, even our faith or your faith is he who overcomes. You see, in Christ alone, I love that song. In Christ alone is all my hope. In Christ alone I will live. In Christ alone I live and I breathe. He's life. That is living faith. You see, in this world we're nothing but strangers and pilgrims anyway. Amen? Strangers and pilgrims. To overcome the world, even our faith, even a faith of a grain of a mustard seed, we can overcome because it's in a great God that we overcome. That is victory. We're more than conquerors, it says in Romans chapter 8. More than conquerors through Him, speaking of Jesus. More than conquerors. Look in verse 5. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Again, it's faith in Christ, in Christ alone. I read this about our thinking versus God's promises. And this goes along about faith and living faith. We say it's impossible about things. God says all things are possible with me. We say I can't do it. God says you can do all things through Christ. We say I'm too tired. God says come to me and I will give you rest. We say I'm always worried and frustrated. God says cast your cares upon me. We say I can't go on. God says my grace is sufficient for you. We say I can't figure things out. God says I will direct your steps. We say I'm not able. God says I am able. We say it's not worth it. God says it will be worth it. We say I can't manage. God says I will supply all your needs and riches in Christ Jesus. We say I'm afraid. God says I have not given you a spirit of fear. We say I don't have enough faith. God says I've given everyone a measure of faith. We say I'm not smart enough. God says I will give you wisdom. We say I feel all alone, but God says I will never leave you nor forsake you. You see, faith is the victory. Why? Is it because of all the kind of faith that you and I can come up with and go around like the Pharisees and say, I'm such a faithful person and just show how big of faithful people we are? That does not bring victory. But our faith in God, that's victory. That's what overcomes this world. Faith in God. Faith towards God. Faith in God. That's victory. That is the victory. Even in times of trouble, be faithful. Have faith in God. Why? Because He is faithful. He's ever present. Let us pray. Lord, we do thank You so much for Your love. Thank You for Your mercy, Your grace. Lord, I pray for Cooper Baptist Church that we will be faithful even in times of trouble. Lord, help us to be faithful to the end. Help us, Lord, to love You and to love one another. And may it be for Your glory, for Your honor, for all eternity. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.